Well, many college students often spend a summer abroad for additional course credit or just to see a bit of the world. For them or anyone traveling to foreign lands, here's some advice that could make their time away from home as safe as possible. To help us with this, we turn to Victoria Lopakovich. She's with the Lopakovich. Lopakovich, yes, we'll get there, with the Office of American Citizen Services for the State Department. She joins us by phone from Washington. And Victoria, I'm sorry for butchering the name.
That's okay. It's Lopakovich. It was a good effort.
Lopakovich. Lopakovich. Okay. Well, do you have, in general, how safe is it to travel overseas these days? I mean, obviously, it depends on where you're going, but in general, what would you say?
It absolutely does, Steve. And let me just start by thanking you for the opportunity to be on your program.
Oh, sure.
Today.
Absolutely.
We often get the question, how safe is it to travel overseas? What we like to start out by saying is we believe that a well-informed traveler is a safer traveler. So know before you go. Our first stop that we recommend for all U.S. citizens contemplating travel overseas is our website, travel.state.gov, where you'll find a wealth of information on every country in the world, country-specific information, for example, that we issue for every country in the world that has information like the location of the U.S. Embassy, any consular offices, consulates, whether you need a visa to go to that country, safety and security information, drug penalties, things like that. No, we also issue what are called travel warnings, and we currently have about 34 of them out there. That's for situations where we have long-term protracted conditions in a country that make a country dangerous or unstable, that lead us to urge U.S. citizens to either not travel to that country or to consider the risk of the risks of traveling to that country.
I was going to say, Victoria, there are a lot of places on the warning list that I wouldn't think of, like Mexico or even Colombia. I mean, thousands of citizens travel to those countries each year, you know, without any problems. Are those warnings too broad in their reach, do you think?
Again, our goal is to provide the U.S. citizen traveling public with accurate current information about traveling to a country. So it's a lot of factors go into issuing these documents, and we look at the incidence of crime, safety and security conditions, and the like. So again, our goal is just to get accurate information out there and to let U.S. citizens inform themselves and then make informed decisions about whether they should travel to a given country. I also wanted to mention we have travel alerts, and again, those are for short-term situations, such as, elections that may spawn protests and demonstration-related activity. Those are short-term documents that typically we look at those every 3 months or so, and if necessary, we'll renew them or let them lapse.
Hey, how many countries just roughly are on the warning list right now, Victoria?
Right now we have about 34 countries for which we have travel warnings.
And does that mean, at least as far as you're concerned, I mean, would you travel to a country that has a warning that's been issued about it?
Well, that's really up to the traveler to decide. Certainly, a travel warning does not prevent in and of itself a U.S. citizen from traveling. We don't have exit controls in this country, and so U.S. citizens, our goal is to make sure that they're aware of the risks of traveling to a particular country. So we do have. In all these 34 countries where we have travel warnings, we certainly have U.S. citizens who are traveling there, regardless of the warning.
Does the State Department ever come out and say, absolutely bar an American citizen from visiting any country that's out there that might be having internal problems of one kind or another?
Yeah, we cannot bar U.S. citizens from traveling to a particular country. Again, the travel warning is just out there to let them know what the safety and security risks are. And it could be in a situation where our embassy has limited capacity to assist U.S. citizens, given on, you know, depending on what's going on in the country, if there's a civil war going on or if there's a heightened political and social unrest. So again, it's information. It's good information that's out there that that's a resource for U.S. citizens.
How often do you guys update the information on your website?
We update at least once a year. I take that back. Once every 6 months, we update. We revise our travel. We're always looking at our information to make sure it's up to date and accurate. But at least every 6 months, we will revise our travel warnings. Obviously, if conditions were to improve in a country such that it weren't necessary, we would lift the travel warning. Mm-hmm. Similarly but in and of themselves, the travel warnings do not have expiration dates. Travel alerts, on the other hand, do, and they typically expire after about 3 months. And again, we either revise them as necessary or we let them lapse.
Yeah. We're visiting with Victoria Lopatkevich with the Office of American Citizen Services for the State Department about overseas travel. Do you have any sense if, when it comes to students, if more students are traveling overseas these days than previous years or not? Are you guys able to monitor something like that?
We don't monitor numbers of people traveling, whether they're students or other groups. What we do estimate, though, that more than 7.5 million U.S. citizens live abroad, and then more than 70 million U.S. citizens travel abroad annually. Among those are, of course, our students. And we, since you brought up students, now, even though spring break is now over, but we do have a very good a website for specifically geared towards students, and that's studentsabroad.state.gov, and students abroad is all one word. And it informs it's sort of a one-stop shopping for U.S. citizens who are planning to travel overseas.
Mm-hmm. If our listeners have questions about overseas travel, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. You know, what documents are needed, Victoria, for overseas travels these days? I mean, some countries require visas, others do not. What about that?
That's correct. Well, as a U.S. citizen, you need a U.S. passport to travel overseas. That is documentation of that documents your identity and your citizenship. And most countries, especially if you're traveling by air, will require a passport to enter that country. Now, some countries do require visas, and others do not. So, as a U.S. citizen, for example, if you're traveling to, let's say, Europe for 90 days or less strictly on tourism, you won't need a visa. But if you're going there to work or to study, you will need a visa. And mm-hmm. what we recommend is that the potential traveler or student or employee contact the embassy of the country of their destination to find out what their requirements are.
Hmm. What does one do if you lose your passport while you're on an international trip? What's the latest thinking about something like that, Victoria?
Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you brought it up. If you lose your passport overseas or get into any trouble at all, you contact your nearest U.S. embassy or consulate, and mm-hmm. we are there. We like to say we're around the world and around the clock, 24/7. You should contact your embassy, your nearest U.S. embassy or consulate, and they will assist you in getting a new passport.
Any idea how many Americans lose their passports or have them stolen each year?
We don't have figures on U.S. citizens how many passports are lost or stolen every year. We don't keep that sort of information. But I can tell you it's enough. Plenty of people do lose their passports, and unfortunately, some of them get Some U.S. citizens fall victim to crime and their passports are stolen from them. Some of them simply misplace them. It's just a fact of life.
You know, you often hear the advice that if you're abroad, tell people you're Canadian, just to be on the safe side. I mean, should U.S. citizens be cautious about telling people they're American these days?
I think it's more a question of not so much of avoiding saying that you're American or hiding your nationality. It's more of being aware of your surroundings. And when you're in a foreign country, you're obviously subject to that country's laws. And also you want to be aware of a country's of cultural norms and sort of how day-to-day life is. And so as you would in any, to avoid sort of making yourself a target and potentially being a victim of crime, it's probably best not to, and this goes for...
Not to be the ugly American you're talking about.
Well, or any nationality, because certainly when you're traveling when you're a visitor in somebody else's country, in a foreign country, you want to, you don't want to stand out and avoid being and risk being the victim of an opportunistic crime.
Let's go to some phone calls here. Victoria Sue from Kansas City, Missouri. Sue, you're on with Victoria. Good morning.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. My husband and I are planning a river cruise in August to St. Petersburg, and we'll cruise down the Volga River to Moscow, and it's with a tour group. Is that area unsafe at this time? I know there's unrest in Ukraine, but I figure it's pretty far away.
I would recommend, ma'am, that you look at our country-specific information for Russia, and read up on the situation there, and you'll have and make sure that you have the contact information for the Consulate General in St. Petersburg, I forgot what you said. You were going from St. Petersburg. That's probably where
we're going with an organized tour, and they keep assuring me that if it's bad, they would cancel it. So I trust the tour company I'm going with.
Right.
So make sure you read up on your destination, and obviously you're with a tour group, so they will take care of most of what you need taken care of. Obviously, you want to make sure your passport is valid and for the duration of your trip and that sort of thing.
Vicki, Sue's question raises a point. I mean, how does the State Department's Office of American Citizen Services, help out if Americans are caught up in some sort of political or violent conflict or even a natural disaster of some kind?
In many ways, if depending on the crisis, we do. If it becomes so dangerous in a country that we need to evacuate our personnel, then we assist to the extent possible in helping U.S. citizens evacuate.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to do sometimes.
It depends on the severity of the situation. Obviously, our goal is to maintain to keep everybody informed of the situation in country, and so if there is a natural disaster, we'll get a lot of calls from concerned family and friends, here in the United States, and we do our best to keep everybody informed of the situation in the country. But we will do we have personnel 24/7 to assist U.S. citizens in emergencies, whether it's a large-scale crisis or an individual one.
You know, in your career, Vicki, you've helped the families of U.S. citizens, who have died in plane crashes and have performed hospital visits to victims of terrorism bombings. What role does a State Department officer like you, play in events like that?
Our primary mission at the Department of State and in the office I work in is the protection and safety of U.S. citizens. So our role is to help assist victims with whatever whatever issue they're enduring, whether it's a medical emergency, an arrest, the death of a loved one, we try to help them in any way we can, and we keep their family members informed at their request.
Well, Vicki Lopatkevich is with the Office of American Citizen Services for the State Department, and thanks so much for taking some time today and giving us a good update here, Vicki. I sure appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Have a great
weekend. Thank you for having me.
Yep, thank you.
You too.